You can make your way to your seats so we can go ahead and get started, please. A couple quick announcements before we jump in. Number one is that if you guys could please be praying for Ted Reber's wife, Dodie. Dodie's actually in the hospital with some heart issues, and he just sent us a text during worship and just asked us if we would be praying for her, and just ask the Lord to reach out. And so when I open up in prayer, I'll do that as well. But if you just remember her in your prayers, that would be greatly appreciative. Second thing is that I just want to say that I am a proud grandpa of three now instead of two. Thank you. Francesca Lorraine Stanley was born on Friday, and she was 7 pounds, 11 ounces, and 21 inches long. And mom and baby are doing wonderful. They will be home later today, hopefully. Papa and Lala are a little tired from watching the other two grandkids all weekend long. We'll sleep well in the next few nights, actually. The third thing I want to do before we open up in prayer is I want to challenge all of us to join the prayer team. I challenged the prayer team a couple weeks ago about going on a fast and a prayer and fast. For our church, for a church building, for a whole bunch of different things. And so I just want to ask you to do the same. Our prayer, for many of you that are here, maybe you're here for the first time, we don't actually own this building. We rent this building on a weekly basis. And so we're very appreciative of Teammates LLC, who owns this building, that allow us to be here. But we desire to have our own building and be where the Lord wants us to be. And so I'm going to ask you to join with us. I asked the worship team. I am asking the worship team as well, too. But ask the prayer team to enter into a fast with me and pray for the Lord would just open the doors to where he'd want us to be and possibly a building. And so, as you know, we've been collecting money for that. And so, real quickly, the easiest thing to do is just to choose what you want to fast and then fast. Fasting is not a hard fast rule. It doesn't have to be all food. It can be media. It can be social media, which is a wonderful thing to fast if you have never done that before. But it could be almost anything. But it's a reminder to ourselves that the Lord is in control. And so when we desire to either eat if we're fasting food or desire to get on social media or do one of those things, it's a reminder to ourselves to pray. And so we just pray to the Lord and asking the Lord that he would give us direction when it comes to a permanent location for Passion Community Church. And so I'd ask you to join with me, please, on that. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Jeremy, I'm going to bring this down just a little bit. Oops. We're going to start in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34, and then we'll read also from Mark. But let's start in Matthew 20 first. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened."
And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. If you have your Bibles, let's flip over to Mark chapter 10, reading the same story starting in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho, and with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when they heard it, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is healing blind people's eyes. But we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who comes before us and asks, "What do we want from you?" Lord, so we pray today as we read these scriptures, as we go over these things, that we can learn from not only the blind men on the side of the streets that were crying out to you, but learn from how you responded to them and what you did, Father. Lord, may we know that this question is a question, again, that we have to answer in our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray today, let us follow you in this way. Like never before, Lord Jesus, let us ask you what you would do for us, Father. And so, Lord, we pray, may our eyes be open as the blind men were. And may we cry out as the blind men did on that side of the road, crying out how wonderful you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, guide us and give us mercy today. Lord, we pray for Dodie. We pray for Chad. We pray for those that are sick today. Lord, but just, I guess not immediately, but right now, calling out Dodie's name to you and lifting her up to you and asking you that you would touch her, Father. That you give doctors, wisdom, nurses, the understanding of what to do with her, Father, and how to heal her and heal her issues with her heart right now, Lord. Lord, be with all of those else that are sick and suffering. Be with those that need you, Father. You know their needs. You know all of our needs, Father. And so we pray that you'd be with us, that you'd guide us and strengthen us. Lord, remove any hindrances that keep us from understanding what you would want us to hear and understand in these scriptures today. Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We honor you. And we praise you now. And Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be yours, Lord, today. And that you would lead us and guide us in all of these things and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's an interesting story. And before I jump into my first slide, I want to talk about this for a moment. When we see this story in Matthew and we see this story in Mark, you might begin to think these are two different stories, but they're not. They're the same story. Matthew says that there are two beggars. Mark and the other apostles say that there is one. And they specifically called out this name by Bartimaeus. That's easy for me to say. Bartimaeus, thank you. And so when they call this out, what is going on here? You might think immediately, well, these are two different stories, or maybe Matthew is wrong. Well, listen, first of all, we have to understand, Matthew was a tax collector. If you ever known someone who does taxes for a living, guess what? They can count. They know the numbers better than anyone else. And so Matthew knew the numbers and he looked at this. The reason why the rest of the stories that you'll find, especially in Mark, and you'll find this also in Luke, but when you read this story, when you're reading this story, the reason why they're only focusing on one is because this was someone that they knew. Obviously, Mark knew him personally because he called him out by name. And not only called him out by name, but he also knew his father and called his father out. And so these are not two different stories. They're the same story, sharing different perspectives on one thing that Jesus did. Now, as we look at this, we have to ask a very simple question. And that is, what do you want? When Jesus asked this question to the blind man, whether it was Bartimaeus or whether it was the blind beggars, if you want to use Matthew as your example here. Either way, when Jesus asks this question to them, he's asking a very simple question to them. What do you want me to do for you? Now, at first glance, you might think, well, isn't it pretty obvious? Yes, it is. It's almost, again, every question that Jesus asks is almost like, well, duh, Jesus, I think I want to be healed of blindness. Just a simple guess on my part that that's what the blind beggars would be asking for. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus wasn't asking this question for himself. Again, all of these questions, Jesus asked these questions not for himself. He asked it for us and for those he's asking that question to, so that you can define what he wanted. But before we get to the answer that these two men shared, let's look at some things, first of all. We find that in Matthew, I'm jumping back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. The two men were sitting by the roadside. How long were they sitting there? We don't know. But we also understand that in this time, what we can make assumptions on is that they were probably there for a very long time. Why? They sat on the roadside because they were beggars. What does that mean? They're asking for money. They're asking for food. They're asking for things as people went by. They were there because that is their way of living. They were blind. They could not see, so they could not work. And so there they found themselves beggars. But we also find something very, very interesting in this story. Because we find in Matthew that he says, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. See, the interesting thing about this verse is that we know that they had some understanding of who Jesus was. Why do we know that? We know that because of this phrase that they use, son of David. This meant that they understood the genealogy of Jesus and where he came from. He was the son of David, and so they knew that Jesus, and probably understood the prophecy that said the Savior would be from the line of David. And so we find this, that there's some idea of understanding. It doesn't say that they went to the temple. It doesn't say that they were followers of Jesus. But what we find is that they at least had somewhat of an idea. Maybe they were visitors to the church for the first time. Maybe they were just coming in, or maybe they had an interest in Jesus, and so they wanted to find out more. But we find in these verses that they're crying out. And then what happens immediately after they begin to cry out? Who rebukes them? The crowd rebukes them. Now, I want you to understand something, and I hope you hear my heart when I say this. But who follows Jesus? Jesus followers, right? And so, if Jesus followers are following Jesus, and then there's someone on the side of the road going, Son of David, have mercy on me. Who's telling them to be quiet? The followers of Jesus. Do you understand that what this is really saying is that literally Christians, because being Christ-like, followers of Christ, were telling the men who needed Jesus the most to be quiet. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't ever, ever want to be the person that stands between them and God and telling them to be quiet as they're praising Jesus. You're praising Jesus? I don't care how. Listen, some of you all can't hit a note for the broadside of the barn. I understand that. I hear you. No, I'm kidding. I don't. But it's okay. You should sing out anyway. You should worship God anyway. Who cares? Why? Because it's not the note that you're singing, it's the praise that you're given. And to Jesus, the praise that you give is the incense that we built up to him. And so sing away! I'd rather hear 1,000 people who can't sing, singing loudly, than 1,000 people sitting on their hands and not lifting their mouth to praise Jesus. It's interesting though, because the world around them was telling them to be quiet. The people following Jesus were telling them, be quiet. So the question I want to ask you today is, can you find God even when the world is telling you to be quiet? Can you find God in the midst of the rest of the world saying, be quiet? Because you know what's going on today? Today, the world is telling us Christians to be quiet, to stay in your place, know your lane. I almost said it again, Miss Tanya. Know your role, shut your hole, right? Well, in this particular case, our role is much bigger than their holes, and so let's lift our voice and tell them who Jesus really is. And so we have to learn to not be quiet in the midst when the world is telling us to be quiet. The two men who were waiting for Jesus to come by had heard of him. They probably even heard of his miracles. And here was their chance, and why not? Listen, if you've been blind all your life, and you hear a miracle worker coming by, and you heard the miracles of what he's done. By the way, they have heard of the stories of him healing other people who were blind before. And so why not take a shot? What do you got to lose? So instead of being quiet, they praise God, calling him the Son of David, a messianic phrase connecting his genealogy to King David, as we said before. This was a phrase that was used in the Old Testament, oftentimes connecting the prophecy of Jesus being a Savior. And so they knew this, they had some idea of these things, and so they're willing to cry out. But again, it's the religious followers of Christ who are telling them to be quiet. Listen, no one knows what you're going through today. Honestly. No one knows. Only you know the depth of what you're going through today. We can hear stories of people being sick. We can hear stories of people having a hard time seeing. We have stories of all of these things. But no one knows the truth of what you're going through except for you. The depth of what you're going through. We can try to relate. We can try to understand. But at the end of the day, it's only you that knows the depth of what you're going through. And so when we do this, and we hear this, and we know that when we're crying out to God, how dare someone else tell us to be quiet? How dare someone else tell us to not praise Jesus? How dare someone inside the church to tell another person not to praise Jesus? And so we have to find the strength inside of us to be louder than the world around us. The other day, I was in the car with my granddaughter, and I was singing a worship song really, really loud. It was one of those things I really loved, Corey. It was a Brandon Lake song, and I'm singing it really, really loud. Surprise, right? So I'm singing really, really loud, and I'm just enjoying it. And she's back there, and she's kind of singing, and then all of a sudden she goes, Papa, can you be quiet, please? I said, why do you want me to be quiet, honey? And she goes, well, you don't sing as good as Lala. I said, you're actually right, honey, I don't. But you know what? I said, I have a reason to sing really loud. And she goes, why is that? And I said, because you're the blessing that God gave to me, and I'm praising him for the time that we get to spend together. And she goes, okay, keep singing, Papa. If your praise or the level of which you do so affects the people around you, tell them it's okay because you're not praising them, you're praising Jesus. And if they don't want to hear you, tell them, turn off their hearing aids or walk outside because I'm praising Jesus anyway, for those that wear hearing aids. It's time that we find our voice. And we find that we can be louder than the world around us. Will you keep crying out when the world says stop? See, this is a question we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves this question because if you haven't had it happen to you already, it will happen. There's going to be people. Listen, I was at a restaurant about a year ago, and I was meeting with a friend. And as I sat there, I said, I need to pray before I eat dinner. So I'm praying, and my friend looks at me and goes, "Man, can you just tone the Jesus down a little bit?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor. I'm sorry, that's impossible for me to do that." I said, "If you don't like it, you can walk to the bathroom and then come back when I'm done praying." And he said to me, he goes, "Well, why do you do that?" And I said, "Because I have such a great reason to praise Jesus." And I said, "So do you. You just may not understand it yet." The question these men had to answer was whether they were going to allow these people to let their praise be silent or whether they were going to continue to be louder. The attempt to stop your praise is often because the devil inside of the people telling you to stop is trying to and doesn't want to hear the praise that Jesus is giving, that you're given to Jesus. Let me rephrase that. And so what's happening is that oftentimes the people, the world outside that doesn't know Jesus is telling us as Christians to be quiet because they don't want to hear us praising Jesus. It's not the people that's doing it, it's the devil inside of them telling the Christians to stop being quiet. And sometimes that happens inside the church. Ooh, someone's just like, I could hear the shoo, right? Many years ago, and when I say many years ago, it was many years ago. When I say this, I mean literally like 18, 19 years ago, we had some kids that would like run around the church with these little ribbons and they would fly like us. And you remember those, Tim? Yeah. And as we were doing this, I had somebody come up to me and they begin to tell me, "Can you just tell the kids to be quiet? I'm trying to praise Jesus." And I'm like, "So are they. What does it matter? Let them praise Jesus." Now, if they're up here picking their nose or doing something like that, that's just a different story. But they're praising Jesus. They're flying. Let's teach our kids how to worship and teach them to do it loudly and be full of energy and full of the praise that Jesus wants to receive from them. When I ask you today, make up your mind what you're going to do right now. If the world tells you to be quiet, are you going to stop or are you going to continue? See, the reason why I encourage you to make that up your mind right now is because if you wait until that day, it'll be too late. If you wait until the day that it happens, you're going to be shocked that someone actually said that. You're going to be shocked at all of these things and you're just going to go, "I missed my opportunity." How many times have you ever been in a situation where someone says something to you and you have this perfect response that you think about 20 minutes later?
2 minutes.
Yeah, me too, Jeremy. The truth of the matter is that it's a mindset. When you get to a place of, "I'm going to praise Jesus no matter what the world around me says, I'm going to continue praising him. I don't care if they don't like it. I don't care if they like it. I don't care if they applaud me or they detest me. I'm going to praise anyway because he deserves it. I'm making up my mind today and I'm asking you to do the same. Praising him, nothing will stop us from praising him." What you let stop praises today will control you tomorrow. Do you understand that? What you allow to stop praising, allow you to stop praising Jesus will control you tomorrow. Kids, the outside world, situations, money. Listen, you don't have enough money? Praise Jesus. You have lots of money? Praise Jesus, right? You're sick? Praise Jesus. You're healthy? Praise Jesus. What does it matter? The answer is to praise Jesus at all times. And if you make up your mind, guess what? You're praising Jesus. Either way. And so when you get into the midst of a situation and you're in the mud and the mire and the clay and the pit and you're having trouble seeing everything else, you can praise Jesus in that place as well. Because you've made it up. You've made up your mind, let me put it that way, that you're going to praise him regardless of what's going on. The interesting thing about this whole entire story is that Jesus comes to them and he asks this question, "What do you want?" Again, Jesus, I have every time, there's 305 questions that Jesus asks, and I've been reading through them for a while now, but every time I see this, I'm like, yeah, Come on, really? Seriously, Jesus? You had to ask the question, what do they want? I want to see. But he does. And why? Because here's a problem. I want to tell you that I think one of the biggest problems we have today is we have a prayer team that prays all the time. I mean, and thank God we do. Thank God for our prayer team that prays and they lift all of you and me and everyone else up to the Lord. And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But you know what? We raise up specific requests to the Lord. Why? Because we're defining to the Lord what we want. And here's what I see more often than not, both in our relationship with God, but also our relationship in this world today. If you don't define to God what you're looking for, how will you ever know whether he answers it or not? Oftentimes we come before the Lord and go, Lord, I just want you to bless me. Well, he already has. You live in the wealthiest country in the world. You have a freezer full of food, a cupboard full of food, maybe not what you want to eat, but there's food inside there. You have a car that might not sound great, but it still gets you to point A to point B. You are blessed. So if you just simply ask the Lord to be blessed, how do you know whether he's already answered that prayer? And so define to the Lord what you want. That's Jesus is asking the blind men to define to him what they want from him. Because they could have said, I just want to be rich. I don't care that I'm blind. What if Jesus answered that prayer? Who knows? But no, he comes to them and he says, what do you want from me? He's asking them to define what they're asking. Define what you want. We ask, or we do not have because we do not ask, Scripture tells us. And so if you don't ask the Lord exactly what you want, how can you blame him for not answering what you asked for? I'm increasingly convinced in my life and in the life of others that we don't often get what we want because we have failed to define what we want or what we need in situations in our life. How many times do we do this in personal relationships with our husbands and wives, by the way? I wish my wife would just love me. Well, what does that mean? Have you defined that? I wish my kids were better kids. Have you defined what that is? Do they know? Define what you want. If you don't define what you're looking for, then again, how do you ever know whether it's answered or not? Jesus was asking these men to define what they want. So what does he do? They define prayers, get defined answers. It wasn't enough just to say, I want to be blessed, or I want to follow you, I want to do all these things. In fact, in my notes, I got to read this because I'm going to laugh if I don't. He says, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to give you everything you want like we follow some cosmic sugar daddy. Those are my exact notes that I wrote down. Jesus is not some cosmic sugar daddy that's going to just give you whatever you want. But if you don't define and you ask Jesus what you want, then you'll never know whether he answered it or not. Too often we're not specific enough to ask for these things. And so we must learn to be specific. God loves you. When you go to a friend, you don't go to your friend and say, listen, you know, I'm having a bad day. Why? It's just a bad day. You give them details, right? You spell out everything that my wife and I have this action that she gets home from school and she wants to talk about her day. I'm like, what's going on? And my wife is this wonderful retellor of her story of the day, what had happened. I did this, X, Y, and Z, and this kid came and said this, and then this kid said 6'7", and then I went here, and then I was in the bathroom, and another kid came and said 6'7", and by the way, my granddaughter is doing that now. Oh, Lord, help me. And so, but she goes through all of these things and tells me the whole entire story. I know, I think it's funny, because I can tell some people have no clue what 6'7 is, and I didn't either. And so they're asking your neighbor, what does 6'7 mean? What does that mean? We don't really know. Adults don't know, kids do. But the truth of the matter is she will spell out everything to the T, everything that happened in her day today. And she'll go through all of these things. This is what happened, this is what happened. And I'm just listening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then she asked me, what happened to your day? I don't know. I prayed. And she's like, is that it? Well, yeah, kind of. I did other things too, but I don't really want to get into them. She's like, why not? She wants definement from me about what happened in my day. She wants to be part of what happened during my day. And as men, we're just like, eh, whatever. I fixed something. Or I broke something. So the idea here, though, is that if you don't define to your spouse, then they want to share with it. That's what I'm trying to say. They want to share with you. But define prayers, get to find answers. You know, many years ago, I began praying for the people of our community. At the time, we were at Richtown Schools, and so I was praying for Richtown Schools. I looked it up. You know, there's roughly a little less than 10,000 people within I think it's like a 8 to 10 mile radius of Richtown. And I began to pray, Lord, please bless our community, bless these people. And then as we moved here, we were in Ravenna, I added Ravenna to that, and I started praying for Ravenna and praying for the area. And Lord, and I looked it up, and there's literally close to 32,000 people in the area of Ravenna. Tim, how many people are in Kent now? 30,000 in Kent. And so that doesn't include the 30,000 around the campus, right? So, but there are literally within the area here, if I did my math real quickly, that's 62 plus 10, 72,000 people. And I began to pray, and I'm praying to the Lord, Lord, bless the communities, bless what's going on, bless in all of this. And he immediately stopped me. And I'm like, Lord, why are you stopping me? I'm praying for the communities, for you to bless them. He goes, those people have names. And I became like the Grinch in The Who. Octavius... Da da da. Who? I loathe you. No, I didn't say I loathe you. No. But what I began to do is, Lord, okay, I understand where you're going with this. He began to ask me to define what I'm praying for, and so I began to pray for people individually that I knew. When I ran into someone, what's your name? Oh, my name's Tom. Okay, can I pray for you? Sure. So I'd go home that week and I'd begin to pray for Tom, or I'd look up and say, these people are in the school district, these people are on the zoning board, these people are in our communities, these are the people I know, and we begin to pray for them. And then I begin to pray, Lord, I don't only want to just pray for them that you'd bless them, I want to see them come to the Lord. So I begin to pray specifically for people and asking the Lord. See, what I believe is that we're not supposed to just pray for the 32,000 people that are in this area, the 30,000 that are in Kent, the 10,000 that are in Richtown, and wherever else you go. I'm not saying that we just pray for them in general. What I'm saying is let's pray some specific prayers. Let's pray that the Lord moves in their hearts and that the Lord changes. Just think about it. If even half of those people, 15,000 people, came to know the Lord, how different would the churches of this area look? Immediately. The truth of the matter is that I think oftentimes we pray these simple prayers because we don't know what else to pray. Well, pray specific, defined prayers. Ask the Lord for salvation. Ask the Lord to be with these people, to change their hearts, to come to know them, to see generations and families change, to see the communities turned upside down for him. You know, I laugh because I was saying this prayer to a friend of mine, and he looks at me and he goes, yep, you're fulfilling your name. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, you know, in Acts, Jason is actually in Acts. And he took me there and he opened me up. He opened the Bible up. And he said, right there's your name, Jason. It's in Acts. And I said, yeah, I see that. And he goes, look what he did. And as I looked at it, Jason in Acts goes into a community and turns the community upside down for the Lord. That's what I had been praying without knowing that it was actually in Scripture. We need to define our prayers because the Lord wants us to define what we are asking him of. The reason why he asked this question to these blind men is because he wants to know, do you want to be healed or do you want it to be something else? I want you to define. Also, when Jesus answers his prayer, how are anyone else going to argue what just happened? They asked to be blessed and Jesus healed them. Was it them or was it Jesus or was it something else? No, they asked to be their eyes to no longer be closed, no longer to be blind, and Jesus answered and heard them. Jesus answers prayers. But you got to ask him. So what are you holding on to? What are you holding back? What have you not defined to God? Are you just going, God bless me. Help me to have a good day. Help me to have this. Help me. Well, he's already done all of that. How about getting a little deeper? When you have a relationship with a friend, you don't go to your friend and say, I just want to be next to you. No, you want to do something, right? You want details. You want to relate with them. You want to bond with them on a different level. Even men bond with other men on different levels, right? We can bond with them by knowing each other, but we know each other, and so we relate to each other, and so we do those things. This happens because defined faith also gets defined answers. Most people don't ask specific things because they're afraid Jesus won't answer those specific things. If I ask Jesus to heal me and he chooses not to, then am I going to go off the rails? But see, if your faith is defined in Jesus and he meets you, even if he doesn't answer you in your exact prayers, isn't that still a wonderful thing? Isn't it still wonderful to say, Jesus met me, even though I didn't get my exact prayers answered, but I got something else that was as beautiful as anything else I could have ever asked for, and that was him. How many times do we not define our questions or our prayers to Jesus because we're afraid that he's not going to answer in the way that we want him to answer? We must learn to not limit our prayers because that really shows where you're at with your faith. If your faith is If your faith is contingent on the Lord answering a prayer or not, you're not serving the right God. Because the Lord loves you, and sometimes he wants to use what you're going through to get you closer to him. Now, in this particular case, he healed the blind men. He did something wonderful for them. Our prayers need to be a definement of our faith. Our prayers need to be a definement of who he is. We need to pray that he's going to do these things. I pray for specific healings. I pray for Jesus to bring us a building that is our own. I pray for a youth movement that is so large that we don't have the facilities to contain it. I pray that we would have finances to meet the needs of the people in our church and our community. I pray that those things, because that is the God I serve, a God who is big and a God who moves in big ways. I'm not afraid to pray for those things, because even if he doesn't answer those things, he's still God. I'm not afraid to go before him and say, Lord, this is what I want. Someone asked me one time, when you pray for someone to be healed, what happens if they're not healed? I don't care. I mean, I do care. That sounded really bad. Sorry. Let me rewind on that. I do care whether they're healed or not. But what I care more is that they have a relationship with Jesus. So if I pray for someone to be healed and they're not healed, as long as I'm sharing Jesus with them, that's what matters most. I want to ask you this question. If Jesus were to answer your prayers today, how would that change you? Would you even know that he answered your prayers? Would you even know that he has done something for you? See, the truth of the matter is I know a lot of Christians who pray some really specific things and would never know the difference whether Jesus answered those prayers or not. And they've gone through their whole entire life that way. I, as a child, went through a different denomination, I'll just put it that way. And they always told you to go and you pray this many prayers and you do all of these things, but they're generic prayers. They're wonderful prayers. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when the Lord answers, when the Lord chooses to answer my prayers, I want to know that he answered those prayers. I want to know that the blind man now see. I want to know that the lame can now walk. I want to know that this is where the Lord wants us to be. He wants to have that type of relationship with you. Do you want to have that type of relationship with him? So I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to begin to ask the Lord for specific things. The simple truth is that we serve a big God who does big things, so why don't we ask Him for those big things? Why are we asking for the Lord to bless our communities? Why don't we ask the Lord to save our communities? Why don't we ask for specific people? Why don't we have a prayer list of people in your... Why don't you have a prayer list? It doesn't have to be me. It can be all of us. This is something you all have to do. Why don't you have a list of people that you're praying through, saying, this is the person that needs to come to know the Lord. This is the person that needs to come to know the Lord. I'm going to lift this person up. And so when I know this person comes to the Lord, I'm going to check it off and I'm going to say, hallelujah, look what the Lord did. Begin to ask. We do not have because we do not ask. But we also don't have because we ask for things that are... Listen, if you start asking for the lottery numbers... You better tithe. That's all I got to say. No, I'm kidding. And 10% is not... Listen. No, I'm kidding. It's not a suggestion. It's a requirement. Just to let you all know, okay? No, but listen, the Lord says that we ask this and we don't have, but we don't ask in His name. We don't ask Him for the things. The Lord wants you to be healed. The Lord wants you to receive. The Lord wants you to come to a salvation message and come and know Him. The Lord wants you to see this. The Lord wants these huge things to happen in your life. But if you're not asking for these things, how will you ever know whether they happened or not? So I want you for a moment just to dream. Dream big with me. What are the big things that you need? I have a list and it starts with a building. I just say, actually, it starts with other things, but that's way up there, let me tell you. I have a list and it begins with just that, but it also begins with some very specific things. Specific things mostly for other people, but there are a few things for me sprinkled in there as well, too. Because I want to see the Lord move not only in me, but I want to see the Lord move in all of us. I think we miss, though, the takeaway, and I really feel the Lord really wants me to reiterate this, so I'm going to reiterate this just one more time. I think the takeaway to all of this is that the Lord is already blessing you. He has blessed you mightily. You just don't know it. You're not walking in it. Because you're asking for general things. Start being specific. The blind man at the side of the street. Lord, we just want you to bless us. No. What does they say? I want to see. I don't want to be blind anymore. So begin asking those things. Let's seek the Lord together. Dream big and what it means to watch God move in big ways. Because see, I believe the Lord doesn't just want to bless our community. I believe the Lord wants to turn our communities upside down. And He wants churches to be filled with people who are following Him. He, after all, is growing His kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. And so the Lord wants you to pray these specific things. He wants you to do these things because He has done these things in the past. And guess what? He'll do them again today. The story of the two blind men was a repeated story that happened earlier on in Jesus' ministry. He had healed someone else of blindness. He actually spit in their eyes with mud. How would you like that? Come here. Let me spit in your eyes. But those two men saw that Jesus had done it before, and so they were full of faith, knowing that this is Jesus, so I'm going to pray and ask for these things. So in your life today, the Lord has done miracles in your life today, and He will do them again. If you just seek Him, will you stand with me, please? Listen, I want to see salvations. I want to see baptisms. I want to see healings. I want to see neighborhoods and families turned upside down for the Lord. Yes. But it's only going to happen if we have the faith to ask and then watch our God move. In my notes, I said, let's go, right? Let's go. Come on. Pastor Chaz often says I'm preaching better than your amen, and so I'll say that myself. So, but the truth of the matter is until you get to the place where you're asking the Lord for specific things. But here's the trick. It's not a trick. I'm sorry. here's the counterpoint to all of this that we have to understand. It's not about what we ask. It's about who we're asking to. The Lord wants to answer those prayers. Do you have the faith to follow him? Even if he doesn't specifically ask, answer your prayers in the way that you asked? 20 years ago, when we started this church, if you would have told me 20 years later we'd look like this, I'd probably cry. In all sincerity, that's nothing against any of you in this room. Absolutely nothing. But it wasn't what I was praying for. But today, I thank God for what we have and where we're at today. Because 20 years ago, I could have never seen what's going on today in our midst. 20 years ago, I would have never imagined the group of people that are here together. Some of you, I'm still scratching my head on, but that's beside the point. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Love you all. But the truth of the matter is that God wants to do great things in all of us, and that includes every single one of you out here. He wants to heal you. He wants to grow you. He wants to see your communities change. He wants your neighbors. He wants your families. He wants all of these things to happen. And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter because he's still good.
Amen.
And he's still God. And that means his plan for us is better than the plan that we had in our mind for it. It's not a missed opportunity. It's not a prayer that the Lord doesn't answer, because the Lord always answers prayers. It's just sometimes he doesn't answer them in the way that we want them to be answered. And that's okay, because he knows better than we do. And so we lift him up and ask him to answer these prayers. So will you dream with me for a moment? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I just want to open up in this time of prayer as we prepare to sing this worship song. Just a question, Lord. What is it that you want us to specifically ask you for? Maybe on your hearts right now, the Holy Spirit, I feel, is moving amongst us right now. I believe he's already bringing things to your mind specifically that you haven't specifically asked for. And so the Lord is asking you, define that. Define what you want from me and ask me for it. And so I want to encourage you today, as the Holy Spirit moves amongst our hearts and our minds and begins to plant seeds in your head about what he wants you to pray about, begin to ask him for those things. Be as specific as you can. Use names, use situations, use whatever you can to define it to Jesus. Because I believe we are in a time and a moment in our lives when Jesus is coming to us going, what do you want me to do for you? I believe we're at a holy moment right now, Lord Jesus, where you are calling us into this place. And Lord, we walk very carefully on this path. But asking you today, help us to define what you're asking us for. And then let us define that to you so that we can celebrate, not us, not that we got what we were looking for or asking for, but because you are God. And so, Lord, I pray today you'd move in the hearts of the people in this place. If someone's here today or watching at home online and they've never given their life to Christ before, may today be this day. This day where we say and we come before you and say, Lord, you are a personal God that wants to have a personal relationship with me. And so, Lord, I stand before you in this place. And Romans 10, verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that he has saved us, then we can have everlasting eternity with him. And we can live for our eternity with him in heaven. All we have to do is come before him and say, forgive me of my sins. Be my king. Be my savior. Help me to be forgiven. Help me to repent, to turn away from those things and walk towards you. If you've done that, amen and amen. God bless you. Wonderful. Thank you for being part of the kingdom of God. But I want to speak with all of our eyes closed and our hearts full right now. Let me speak to those that are here today that have said that before, but have been living their life on the fence, that have been living their life not asking God for specific things, and then being mad because he hasn't answered those things that we need in our life. And I want to challenge you. In fact, I want to call you out right now in the name of Jesus that you begin to ask him for specific things and then live upon what he says. See how he will answer those prayers. I challenge you today. Challenge the God who loves you, the Father of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and see how he will move in those specific prayers that you're asking. And so, Lord, come to this place right now and do it again as you have before, Father. As you heal the blind men, heal those that are sick today. As you provide finances for those in the past, provide them for today. Help those that are addicted come away from that addiction today, Father. Do what only you can do in our midst, Father, as we look towards you. Come in this place, Father, and do what we need you to do, Father. Because you are great, you're mighty, and you're the Lord of Lords, and you deserve that and so much more. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this worship song together. If you have prayer requests, you'd like to come down front. These altars are open. Come forward. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you.
I see a river and move a mountain, but I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there is no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I see you move, you move a mountain, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there is no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me.
God still moves. Amen. He's still, not only is he still moving, guess what? He's still moving mountains too.
That's right.
It's not small things. I'm tired of living a Christianity that's dealt with small things. It's time to go bigger. Go big or go home, they say, right? Home is eternity. I'm ready to go there. But I'd rather go big right now, because that's where the Lord has me as I'm breathing in and out. Someday I'll go home and I'll be okay with that. But while I'm here, I want to see God move. Let me encourage you one last time. Define your prayers to Him. Ask Him exactly what you need. Don't ask for general blessings. Those are good. There's nothing wrong with that, but you'll never understand how much God is moving in your life until you ask for specific things. When you define and you ask for specific things, God will move. And so, Father, we thank you for this day. Move in our hearts. Move in our midst like only you can. Bless this time that we have together with you, Father. Help us, Lord, to define our prayers before you. To know that you are a God who still moves in mighty ways. And so we will ask for mighty things. Because you are a mighty God who serves us and loves us as we serve you, Father. And so, Lord, in this place, we ask you right now that we can be your servants, your hands and feet, as we go out from here into the communities and our neighborhoods and our families. Father, help us to be those hands and feet, to see how you're doing and what you're doing in and amongst us, Father. Lord, direct us, guide us, help us to do your will and to do what you're calling us to do. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. If you still have any prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. God bless.